and to Psalm 127. So go straight to the center of your Bible, Psalm 127. It's page 968. Psalm 127. And Jamie, if you could go to that, this is God's word first before you hit slide 9 or 11. I'm a little loud. Is it the tie? Is that good? I took the grandkids to Cedar Point and also went to a ball game of my grandson, so I think I yelled a little too much this week, so that's why it's what it is. I am so proud of you, youth. You're going on a mission trip and sitting up here. It is so deep. This is the spit zone, so what it is, I'm sorry. Last week was Father's Day, and we talked about how we need, what's the first thing God said to Jesus at the beginning of his ministry? This is my son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased. And this is our youth group, whom we love, and you guys, we are well pleased. Thank you, Lord. Talk about valuing and how we have this daddy ache and we need to feel the value of our parents. You might have heard this story. They've done it more than once where they take a group of students and they tell the next year's teacher, you have the best students we've ever had in the school. These guys are gifted. It's just phenomenal, this particular group of students. And these group of students are actually average. And then they take another group of students who are also average, and they tell the next year's teachers, we are really sorry, but these kids that you're going to have, these kids are tough. They don't learn too well. They're going to struggle. And guess what happens? Bruce Wilkinson, who is you might have heard the Walk Through the Bible and the Jabez Prayer and all that, he was teaching at Multnomah School of the Bible, and he was told the very kind of same thing. He said, this class that you're getting, Bruce, we can't believe why did you get the cream of the crop? But you got the cream of the crop. And when teachers are told, you got the cream of the crop, guess what happens to those students? They do very, very well. And the students who the teacher believes are just, man, these guys are going to struggle, these guys aren't the smartest, guess what? They struggle. That's why it's so important that we value and that we, what Josh just shared from Ephesians 4, speak truth in love, build each other up. And so let's look at Psalm 127 that tells us how to build up our children. Stand up with me and let's read it, and then we'll do God's Word right after that. Psalm 127. I'll start. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Now read verse 3 out loud with me in 4. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. I'll continue. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Let's pray together. Father, from Josh's reading here from Ephesians 4, you over and over again in different ways you talk about put aside falsehood, anger, malice, wrath, to speak kindly, to only speak what builds each other up, to forgive as we've been forgiven in Christ. Hallelujah. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord who's over all, in all, and through all. Hallelujah. And Lord, we want to first build you up, not that you need built up, but you are holy and good and righteous and strong and kind, but also amazing and fearful in the sense of we are to be in awe of you. You're a consuming fire. Man, Lord, you are glorious, awesome. And yet, you want to share your glory with us. You tell Adam and Eve, be blessed, be fruitful, multiply. It says in Psalm 8, like, what is man that you are mindful of? And you've made the stars, and yet you've made us a little lower than the angels right now, the highest, second highest in creation, and one day we will be above the angels right underneath you. Father, help us to both honor and value you, honor and value one another, and feel that value as well. And thank you for our teams. Thank you for these leaders. I especially want to bless Josh Fay and others who are taking vacation time to be able to go on this mission trip. Lord, you are doing a work, and we pray that when they come back home, the things that they learned on this week will transfer and help us as parents and families and friends to encourage and learn from what you have taught them. Father, bless us today. Give us your viewpoint with your power, with your love, with your grace. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. If you can, let's do God's Word. If you're comfortable, this is God's Word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be and to be. Yeah, see, let me do my little pointer guide. Instead of saying to be like Jesus, which is true, it's to be close to Jesus. When you get close to Jesus, guess what happens? You become like Jesus. To share it and to be close to Jesus and bring others to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Give each other a hug or a hit or something. And then, Jamie, we can go to that slide 9 or 11, whatever we had. This psalm is a psalm that we need to hear in our culture nowadays. They did research with a group of Chicago dads and were asked, how many minutes or how much time a day do you spend talking with your kids? And the average dad said, I at least spend 30 minutes. Hour a day talking to my kids. And I don't know if the dads knew it or not, but they had little microphones on the little kids' shirts or something. Average dad spent, guess how much? 37 seconds. Yeah. And usually what was said in those 37 seconds was, you just spilled the milk. Sit up straight, yo. Just stuff like that. Now, there's a reason. Now, we're supposed to value our children. I mean, I hope you saw that. They're arrows. They're an inheritance. They're a reward. They're these great things. Shut up and just, if you're bored, I'll give you something to, right? Don't we do that as parents? And I think it begins, it's really where we are. Look at verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. God begins where we are. And the average dad isn't thinking about his kids, is he? He's thinking about his bills, the car payments, the house, the job, the overtime, all the stuff he has to do. And so the psalm begins with, it doesn't matter how hard you work. If God's not behind it, he can take it away in a second. It doesn't matter how much you watch and worry and look at the stock market. If God wants to pull out the pin, it's going to go. So that there's something bigger here. And behold the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom. And you kind of in between the lines is fear God. I mean, are you hearing that? It doesn't matter how hard you work, how much you do, unless God's behind it, it can just disappear in a second. But then, right next to that fear of the Lord is this love of the Lord. He grants sleep to those he loves. How many of you have a hard time falling to sleep sometimes, right? You're anxious and you're worried. God loves you. He wants to give you sleep. God loves you. He wants to give you sleep. Turn to your neighbor and say, he wants you to give you sleep. He wants you to relax. Now, have you noticed that? He really does. Some of you are shaking your fingers, yeah. Now, this is, I don't even know these things. This is a smartphone. I've gotten to listen to 30 chapters in a row, like of Deuteronomy, while I'm fixing the car and working the garage. It is absolutely incredible. And now it's like, when I wake up in the middle of the night, and if I can't sleep, woohoo, I just turn this on and I listen to Scripture. And after two or three chapters, ah, do you feel that? And God wants us, if we would just learn to slow down with the Lord, maybe we would learn to spend a little more time with the family. Maybe we'd be, if we feel loved by God, maybe we would feel a little more love towards one another. And I think these first two verses are telling us, one, fear God, respect God, and secondly, know that He loves you. He really does. Now, personally, I've experienced this where something's going on, with some kind of situation that I have to be involved with. And when I go to bed at night, literally, my heart sometimes is pounding at a 90, 100 beats a minute. Lord, there's no way I can go to sleep. But I listen to Scripture, I pray, and I'm out. That's God. That's God. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, my eyes pop open. Wait, person A said this and person B said that. That means person C is lying. And now I got to, and also, and have to do it all over again. If you fall asleep, praise God. If you wake up in the middle of the night, don't go, well, that didn't work. No, do it again. Go further. I'd like you to think about that when God says sons are a heritage from the Lord, children are a reward from Him, that's just not Him telling us what to do. It's Him telling us who we are and how He sees us. When God told Jesus at His baptism, you are my son, whom I love, in you I am well pleased. God is just not modeling for us how to be a good parent, how to be a good friend, how to be a good Christian. He is it. So right now, I'd like you to just close your eyes and take your, they've done research on this, and take your hand and you put it, rub your collarbone or maybe your chest or your solar plexus, but we want to get this in for a second. Just with eyes closed, heads bowed. You picture your Heavenly Father standing over you and Him saying, you are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. You are my arrow. You are my inheritance. You are my gift. It actually says that in Scripture that His people are His inheritance. You are my reward. That is how God feels about you. That's what God wants to do for you. Please receive it, accept it, walk in it. Now with eyes closed, head still bowed, I'd like you to turn your hands up. I can kind of put them out. And this is you offering yourself, but also offering praise to God. Just listening to a CD where this guy, really neat, said he made a practice of rehearsing who he was in Christ. Accepted, beloved, a conqueror, and it was good. But then he turned it around and began looking at God, who He is, that He's the acceptor. He's the beloved. He's the conqueror. He is divine, just kind of using the alphabet. He is eternal. He is forgiving and faithful. He is God and He is good. He is holy, holy, holy. He is incarnate. He is Emmanuel. He is just. He is King. He is lover and Lord. He is mighty and almighty. He never breaks His promises. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, and powerful. He still, get quiet, know that He is God. He reigns. He rules. He is sovereign. You can trust Him. He has unconditional love. He is victorious. We worship Him. We yearn. The zeal of the house of the Lord consume Jesus. May it consume us. If you know Jesus, you have a love relationship with the Father. If you don't know Jesus, He is offering it to you right now. Please accept it. Christ died for you. You are worthy. You are valuable in His sight. Receive, accept, walk in that. And please, if you don't, there is absolute punishment because you're choosing to go against Him. Lord, help us to get this. Help us to slow down. Bless our dads in particular. Yeah, we got to do the bills. Yeah, we got to work on the house. Yeah, we got to fix the car. But Lord, help us to relate to you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, after the first two verses and us getting that relationship with the Father right, then He begins talking about our relationship to our children. And it says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. That has the idea of an inheritance. Children, a reward from Him, a gift, a prize. It's often used in Scripture as a, It's often used as a something you earn as well as a gift. And then sons born in, and then like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Okay. Anybody ever have a rich uncle that died and left you an inheritance? Not yet. But I've heard it's really sweet. When you get an inheritance, it's like, are you kidding me? This is mine? And it gives you protection. It gives you, it's God still has to be your protector. But an inheritance is a sweet, sweet, sweet thing. Parents, your children are a sweet, sweet thing. They're an inheritance. They are valuable. And secondly, they're a reward. And third, they're an arrow. They are a weapon. It's interesting. An inheritance and a reward and an arrow all gives you a sense of security and a sense of peace, and they extend your reach. And it says, children are arrows in the hands of a warrior. Parents, we are to be warriors. We are to be the ones setting the pace. We're the ones who are to be gaining new ground. At the end, this doesn't make much sense to us, but verse 5, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. My understanding is that usually the Hebrew soldier carried 5 or 6 arrows. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Now, what is this contend with their enemies in the gate? The gate was the public court, more or less. And happy is the man who has children who stand behind him and who say, yeah, that's what my dad or that's what my mom is like. Now, here's the question. Are children valuable? Are children arrows? Are they inheritances? Are they rewards if we see them that way? Or are they an inheritance, a reward, and arrows, whether we see them that way or not? Are you with me? Is their value determined by our faith, or is their value determined by God? He doesn't say, if you have enough faith, they'll become an inheritance. If you have enough faith, they'll become a reward. If you have enough faith, they'll become arrows. What does it say? They are arrows. They are an inheritance. They are a reward. And please hear me here. Your child is going to be an arrow either for God or for Satan. Your child is going to be an inheritance either for God in heaven or he'll be a reward for Satan in hell. Your child is eternal and is very, very valuable. Amen. A couple weeks ago, Tom told me how there's 11 high schoolers that are graduating. And I was like, oh, that's really neat. I mean, that was my first initial response. But then when I went home, I was like, 11 are graduating. What's going to happen to this 11? I mean, I'm sorry, guys. 80% of you, once you graduate, you're done. You're gone. You're like, I wish I had arrows. I was thinking about talking to you, Steve. Oh, man. Arrows, I don't know how much they are, but they're expensive, especially back then. Think of all the time it took. And after you train, you just drop it on the ground. Don't fall on the ground. Keep at it. Kelsey, I'm catching your eye. Thank you. It means a lot to me. You haven't stopped. And arrows are meant to be shot and sent away. Accomplish more things greater than what the person who actually shoots them does, right? Now, this is kind of in between the lines. But every one of these values, you got to spend time with to make it work. And I want to end with this part here. Give your presence. How can we develop our arrows, our inheritance, our reward? The first thing I want to say is, give your children your face. Somebody just said to me at the beginning of the service here today that they came to the memorial service for Bryce. And they said, you know what, Pastor Ken, it was so neat. Just saw you greet and give people candy and talk with people. And you didn't know, you gave them your face. They didn't say that, but that's the implication. But you know, when you get here, I see you get distracted. I've got so much to do. And you might come and visit me during the middle of the week and it's like, I really can't talk to you right now. You know? Aren't we like that? There's a story of the little girl that, this is before the internet, I guess, and she's talking to her dad, telling her dad about her day, and the dad's sitting in his lazy boy with the newspaper, and the dad's going, And the little girl goes, Daddy, are you listening? And then she gets up on his lap and pulls the newspaper down and says, I want your face. Please, parents, for your children to feel valuable, turn away from the screen or the book and give them your face. Amen. Secondly, give them your hand. Now, some of you are thinking the hand of discipline. Yeah, they need that too. Give them physical contact. Let them, when they're little, what do kids want to do? They want to jump on your lap and just have you read a story to them, right? And then, especially guys, as they get older, they don't want to be kissed or anything, but what do they want? Man, they want to punch. They want to wrestle and get noogies. I mean, nicely, but, right? I mean, that physical contact makes them feel loved. This is going to be weird. There was a group of rhinoceroses on a game preserve in South Africa that were getting beat up. I mean, these rhinoceroses are on their last leg. They're gouged and gored. And like, what beats up on a rhinoceros? Well, the game wardens kept watching, and they found out there was a gang of teenage elephants beating up on rhinoceroses. It's like, what in the world? Why would elephants don't eat meat, so why are they beating up? Well, then they went, oh. 2 years before, they thinned out the bull elephants because they felt like they were getting too many elephants. And since there were no older bull elephants, these teenagers went viral. And then they did more research and found out that these teenage elephants had elevated levels of testosterone. Interesting. Is that a picture of American society that without a dad, teenagers start to mature quicker than they're supposed to? Their testosterone goes up, which is going to be more sex and more violence. Dads, wrestle with your kids. So they reintroduce the bull elephants back. Guess what happened? The gangs disappeared, and their testosterone levels went down. Hallelujah. I mean, don't you just feel like giving a teenager a noogie right now? Huh? But spend time with them. Give them your face. Give them your hand. And I want to say this. This is there in your notes. And work with them. Please work with them. Show them how to work. Do you know that in our society today, the average age of like farmers, construction workers. You know what the average age is in America? 55. Because we're not training the next generation to work. Lord, help us. We're in trouble. So give them noogies and give them jobs and work with them. Along those lines, Andy Stanley, they're here, and Charles Stanley says that when Andy was a kid, he would send Andy out to work the yard, you know, to do yard work. And he finally realized he needed to be beside Andy while he did the yard work and do it together. Give your face, give your hand, give your heart, eye level at their level. I'd still encourage you, it's in your bulletin of what's going on down at Lifeway. They give these little mini seminars. And last month, there was a seminar entitled How to Win Your Child's Heart. And so I went to that one. And it was a young man, I'd say he was probably around 30 years old, and he was sharing. And he gave this principle. He says, get at eye level on their level. Give your child your heart. And he shared what happened to him. He had a 3 or 4 year old son, and he was in the bedroom with his son. And the dad was looking out the window, and the son was looking at that, you know, newer windows have that screen that has a little tab at the bottom that has a child falling out the window. Can you imagine if you're a child and you see that, what that does to you? Like, and the little kid goes, Daddy, what does that say? And the dad says, it says, screen will not keep child from falling out of window. Okay, end of story. That night at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Daddy, that screen, it can't keep me from falling out the window. Now, what do you want to do as a father who gets woken up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning? Go back to bed. We talked about this. It's okay. What's the matter with you, right? Oh, he said, eye level at their level. And he began to, you know, he had to talk with his son and work him through. Man. Are you getting into your child's life? Are you finding out what really makes them tick? Why are they angry? Why are they bored? What's going on the inside? Maybe after you hold your child and talk to them about the window thing, say, honey, what that's saying is don't push on the window because the window or the screen, it's not enough. Hey, honey, guess what? Let's go back to your room. And I'm going to reverse, you know, with those kind of windows, you can take the upper part and push it down and let the air come in that way. You can't, you know, make it safe for your kid. Give them your face, your hand, your heart, and then your time. Ah. There's research on this that kids that turn out well have parents who every day at least eat together, who at least make their kids work a half an hour a day. Sorry about that, kids. And 2 hours on the weekend. Who nightly listen. That's the time for them to talk about their day. And pray with them, do a little devotional, who weekly go to worship, who at least yearly have a service project. And that's what you guys, you go on that. This is so good. And this isn't on the, Marshall had, our office manager is on vacation this week, but he had jury duty last week, so we didn't get this up here. Do ceremonies. When did God tell Jesus, this is my son whom I love? When did he tell him that? What is baptism? It's a ceremony. Use birthdays. Use milestones. Hey, you're going to kindergarten. Hey, you're turning 12 or 13. You're becoming a teenager. Hey, you're 18 or 16. You got your license. Use these different times, mile markers, to reinforce how your children are valuable to you, and also they're responsible to God. And give a vision. I was just reading in a book. A guy was 48 years old, and on his 48th birthday, he got a birthday card from his parents, and it just had three sentences in it, and they told him how they had prayed for him before he was born, how they felt about him when his mom got pregnant, and there was a third thing. It was just three sentences. And you said, children are an inheritance their reward. They are arrows that value them. Amen. And we're going to be laying hands on our youth group here in a second. I would say something. I don't know. This is a ring. That my grandson's got me at Hartville Market for $2. And my grandsons are, one just turned 12, the other one will be turning 12 here in September. And, you know, I love what Tom said. I want to be in heaven with them, worshiping with them. I want them to get saved. And so it was just me and Isaiah, and took them to China Buffet. Don't us guys love buffets? What is it with buffets? Those are wonderful. Just keep on going. And I thought, man, it's time for me to tell my story. So I talked about how I got saved. How I started messing around with a neighborhood girl right after that, and then how I got baptized, and how I started messing around with that neighborhood girl again. And so I'm telling them things that I wish I had been told when I was 12. Made his parents a little uncomfortable. That night in devotions, we read from Leviticus 18 in the ESV, or you can read it in the King James, and it says, don't get naked. You don't have to explain the birds and the bees. Just say you don't get naked. Good old Isaiah gets all red in the face with all granddad. Don't get naked with your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Blah, 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 blah. You don't get naked, Isaiah. I needed somebody to tell me that. Well, 2 days later, they go to Hartville, and Isaiah and Owen both get these rings. And when they come home, Isaiah says, "Hey, granddad, let's take Owen to China Buffet and tell him the story." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then on Friday the next day, "Hey, granddad, let's get you a ring too." Hallelujah. Let's go. Stop and pray. Father, Lord, oh, forgive us. Forgive us for how we have rushed around and not gotten in your lap and not gotten our value and our children's value, your value. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen watch in vain. Father, everything that we work for, if we're not connected with you, if you're not putting your shield of protection over us, is worthless, is going to burn up. Father, so we connect, Lord. We connect to you. To you be the honor and the glory and the power and the praise. If you're not saved, know that Jesus Christ died for you and rose again. You are valuable in his sight. He wants to shoot you like an arrow. He wants to develop you like an inheritance. He wants to open you up like a gift and give you things. He's going to take you through tough times and hard times, but he's going to also take you to heaven and give you even more of ways to serve and love him and others. You want in. And please bow your heart, bow your knee, bow your life to him. Lord, you are Lord, I am not. You are God, I am not. You are holy, I am not. You know the way, I don't. You are life. I can't find my car keys. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Wash over me. Drown my sin and me by your grace. Fill me up. Help me follow you. If you're praying that for the first time, please, you need a ceremony. That's what Jesus said. That's what baptism is about. You need to own your faith. I'd like to help you start that right now. If you're praying that for the first time and you mean business with Jesus, would you raise your hand and say, "Yeah, Pastor Ken, I'm asking Jesus to come into my life. I'm tired of playing games. I want him to be first. Father, thank you. And Lord, help us as parents in particular to honor our children who have been made in your image, who've been gifted with personality, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, who are arrows and rewards, inheritances. Help us to develop them, like it says in Proverbs, to train them up in the way they should go. Lord, bless these teens. Thank you for giving them to us. Use this week, especially with Bryce passing 2 weeks ago, Lord. But this is a special, special, special time. Use them, Lord, mightily, we pray. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Mm-hmm.